Back to radio show. Have a good one.
Inch by inch, row by row, Andy Lopez makes your garden grow. All it takes is organic know-how to make some fertile ground. Inch by inch, box by box, Andy Lopez makes your garden rock. With Invisible Gardener Radio Talk, and don't panic, it's organic.
It's organic! Oh, way back, they took it for me.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. I've been having technical difficulties the last few weeks for one reason or another. I'm still sort of in the throes of it a little bit, some changes. We've finally got a mixer board, and I am assuming that everything's working copacetically. There's still some things I got to work out here to make sure it's working right. You know, but eventually it's coming along really nice to where I can actually do my show. And my inter voice says works great. So I mean, I this new setup, I can't hear my voice, and I just love hearing my voice. I don't know, that's the whole reason why I do it. I'm not gonna do this anymore if I can't hear my voice. You know what I'm saying? I gotta hear my voice. I don't know. Anyway, you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. Again, I usually have a meter that tells me if I, you know, the volume of my voice. I don't have anything. All I have is a mixer board and just, you know, all these things here. Anyway, so I'm back. I try to it's perfect. I kind of like the way it splashes out like that. It's kind of cool. The Mac has a very different Skype than the PC does, you know. So when he says something, it just comes up on the screen. It floats away. It's like, oh, that's nice. Anyway, I try to do the What's Up with Wheat, the video, and it kind of didn't make it all the way through. If you folks want to continue to hear it again all the way through from beginning to end, I'll be happy to do that. I'm going to be doing more stuff like that. It's always a public service announcement, for the cost, and particularly this particular problem, wheat. it's all about what I've been talking about in a lot of different ways. Because, you know, I've always been talking about, you know, healthy soil, healthy food, right? And wheat, you know, you would say, well, what's wrong with wheat? What can't be unhealthy about wheat? There's a lot. And it's just like what's going on with the whole organic certification thing. Okay, what's going on with that? That's a lot. There's a lot going on with that. I'm going to be, believe it or not, talking about, let's see what I do here. Next page. What it says on this page is I should talk about the contest, because we have a new contest, and we have, I think I already announced the winners for the last contest, but because I wasn't able to do my show, we only have a couple of, 2 weeks left or something like that for, no, actually we have the whole month of July. So almost June got disappeared. So we have a new contest coming up, starting all over again this month. So what I'm doing is everybody who enters the contest will get my book automatically, the PDF version of it, sent to them. And then if they win the contest, they will get the lifetime membership, right? The lifetime membership, which is normally $35 for seniors, $55 for the rest of us folks. They get a $20 printed version of the book, you see, right? And so you're going to get the printed version. So when you're going to get like a regular membership, as if you had paid the $55. Instead, you don't have to. You're going to get the book, right, which is the black and white version of my Don't Panic, It's Organic, plus the membership. Normally, and then everybody else who enters the contest, right, they too will get the lifetime membership. But they won't get the book. They'll get the e-book and all the other 20 books. So in other words, you'll get a little something back saying, you have won, and click here and you just follow instructions. It gives you the membership free, and then it gives you access to all the e-books. The only difference between paying and non-paying, of course, the money, is that you get a print version of the book. See, so if you want to pay, if you want to join for $35, you get the senior citizen, you get the print version of the book, or the $55 version, you get the twin print version of the book. See, right? I also have the color version of the book, which is currently on sale for $55. Normally, it's $100. You don't get that, but you can buy that if you want to. I probably will give start. Will offer it away in an upcoming contest. But for now, the winner will get the free lifetime membership with the print version of the book. Okay? Everybody else will get the free lifetime membership link saying you have won. So everybody will win. Okay? And you there are several ways you can enter the contest. The preferred way to enter the contest is for you to have signed up for the newsletter, because you can go to my website, invisiblegardener.com. You can sign up for my newsletter. I just got to do this while I'm talking. You know, I really need like a crew here, right? A crew of people. Anyway, listen to that. I'm working on this song. I call it the Wandering Monk. So that's coming up after my show. I do another show called Cosmic Spaceship. And what can I say about it? It's just basically I write this music and it comes out. And some people say I'm writing, some people say I'm not. It doesn't make a difference. This is how it comes out. I use a computer. I don't play any instruments. Maybe the congos a little bit. But now I play my computer. I literally create this stuff. Several different programs combined to one with a computer. You can tell what instrument you want, the sound, everything. Isn't that cool? Okay. All right. So, and that's coming up after this show, and it's called The Cosmic Spaceship. There are some interesting things that I'm going to be doing on it. And one of them is I'm actually going to start writing the music live on the show. Once we go over to a video, streaming video, you'll be able to see how I create it. And I'll also expand that so I can do my artwork live on the show, okay? There are a bunch of other things I'm going to be doing live on that show, so keep an eye out for that. It's called Cosmic Spaceship. Okay, so one of the things I want to talk about, and then, of course, the newsletter is really easy to do. You go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, click on Get the Newsletter. In there, in the newsletter somewhere, when you're filling it up, it'll say, click here if you want to enter the contest. And then when you get the newsletter, I send a newsletter twice a month. There's a section that says newsletter, contest, click here. And what I did was that you click on it and your email program will come up. It's already filled in for you. You know, where it gets sent to, the subject. All you got to do is enter me in the contest. This is your radio show. If you have a question, just add it to it. If not, just click on it. And you can enter the contest that way, right through the newsletter, get automatically done really easy. And that way it goes into a certain box, because I get thousands of emails, and the only way I can pull them out is if I know where it's coming from, and that's just one way. The other way is you always send me email, and whether I'll find it in the massive amounts of emails, because it usually will go into the junk box. I have to pull it out. And I can't tell the computer, everybody, you know, give them your email address, and I have thousands of email addresses. These people are safe, so they have to come from a place that I know of, which is why when I click on it, it does come from myself. So I know that it's coming from me, and that you had clicked on it from the newsletter. That's an easy way to do it. Okay. There's probably another way to do it. I haven't figured it out yet. But yeah, send it directly, or use a newsletter to get it, okay? Those are the two easiest ways to do it. The best way is to do the newsletter so that I get your email, okay? All right, so then next week we're going to be talking about how you two can help to heal the earth, heal the soil. Lately I've expanded it to heal the ocean. It's like a big healing thing, right? Okay, so then today I'm going to talk about, I'm titling the show, It's the Trees. I usually say, it's the trees, the trees, the trees. I think I have an echo button here somewhere. I should have an echo button on my, I have a new mixer board. I don't know how exactly use it all, except that it does have a bunch of different things in here. There's an echo chamber. So I don't know, since I can't hear myself, I don't know if there's an echo coming when I'm talking. I suppose I should try it. Do that and see if the engineer says, oh, my God, yeah, your voice is echoing. Anyway, listen, if you want to talk to me, because the whole reason why I'm here is to talk to you. Believe it or not, that's the whole reason why I'm here. Well, okay, so I have a ulterior motive, and I love playing music. And so I couldn't do a show doing music, so I tricked these people, and the engineers and the people at the radio station, into doing the show and then letting me do the music, because the music is, I have more fun doing music than anything else, playing game or other than artwork. Well, I do play games and artwork. Those are alternative mind things, you know, that helps you to, your brain to function on different levels. Anyway, so today, I want to talk to you something about interesting, but before I do, holy cow, banga. Okay, breathe, yes. If you want to talk to me, by now you should know the numbers. Of course, we use Skype here, and the call letters for Skype is BBS Radio PR. So if you use that, Mr. Engineer will know it, and he will pass it on to me. You just let him start talking, Don. Just let them start talking. If they get on there, hi, and I hear something, and then I know somebody else is talking. Well, maybe not a good idea. So I get a lot of people talking to me in my mind and my brain a lot too. I have conversations with various parts of my body. So just let me know, Don, if somebody's on. That's BBS Radio PR, all lowercase. You can, of course, do it the other ways. You can use the toll free number 888-627-6008. Okay, 323-744-4831 is the direct line. Use any of those numbers and you can talk to me. I've been telling people they can email me if they have questions, but again, your emails get lost. Trust me, they do not make it through the lines. I'm sorry, my email name is, I had to change it. It used to be Andy at InvisibleGardener.com. I can't use that anymore. I get like so much junk email and so much stuff that's coming through that. I have another email which I can't use that one either. I have several. So every few years, I just have to come up with a different email, because my email's out there, you know, in the public, and they take it, and then I get such a massive amounts of junk and scams and viruses and attempted break-ins and... So I have the email I'm using now is andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. So yeah, see, I don't mind telling you, because you have to put it on the public, but sooner or later that will get broken into, and then I'll have to change it somehow again. But so you can try sending email to that and say, I would like to enter the contest. No guarantee I'll be able to find it, because it doesn't have any way. You can just say, hi, Andy. Whatever you want to the subject, I don't go for that, because I've been, you know, so many different ways. It's me, your father, or it's me, your son, or it's me, and the subject. Hey, please let me, I have to talk. You know, it's like, you're kidding me, right? I can't do it. So you have to go to the news through the newsletter. It's the only way that the email goes into a certain box, and then I know it's for the contest, right? Okay, so a long time ago, let's see how long ago. Let me see if I can remember how long ago. Let's see. I'm going to sit back here. I wonder if my voice is still coming good. I got a new, I think it's called a boon. It's a little thing you lower and raise for your mic. I like it better. That way I can just lay back and breathe. So maybe 20 years ago, let's see, 20 years ago would be like 1999. 1999. So it's even further than 20 years ago, because I donated my time to the Tree People here in LA. This organization called Tree People. And I'm pretty sure there might be in all the different cities by now, you know, Tree People, right? And so I volunteered my time for Tree People, which makes sense, right? So I did a lot of stuff for them, but one of the things that I was doing was talking about climate change and talking about specifically trees. And of course, you can't talk about trees without talking about the soil. And one of the things that I was talking about, we had a meeting. I remember we had a meeting. The tree people went to a meeting in Santa Monica. And there was lots of different people there, and they were trying to have, I think it's a meeting about climate change and global warming, what they can do, what can be done. And you know, there are lots of different really cool suggestions and really cool ideas and stuff. My idea was we should plant more trees. And of course, everybody there says, well, there's no way, you know, that's not going to really work. For one thing, we don't know how much a tree, carbon dioxide, a tree takes up, right? What kind of good one tree would do as opposed to, we have no way of determining if they'll do anything. And now that it does anything to the environment, to the climate. Pauline from New York on line one. Okay. Hi, Pauline.
Hi. The very first time I called you, I won your subscription and the book. That you gave out, that you just came out with your new book, the color one. You sent it to me. I haven't called. Yeah, you sent me all of it. I got so lucky. You gave me everything. A lifetime membership, the two books. I don't have any land growing on. I don't know. You were very generous. I think you asked people to call in that day, and I happened to call in because nobody was calling. And I called
I
in.
Like
and
you.
Said,
I like your voice.
In.
Are you from Brooklyn or New York?
No, I'm from Queens. I'm born
Queens,
in the Lower
sorry.
East Side, but I'm in Queens, really, in Flushing.
Okay.
Home of the Mets, World Fair, all that stuff, goody stuff.
Okay.
So I'm calling in because I heard you say you were going to do something about healing the earth or something, or the soil. I was wondering, since you're in California, and I only recently learned about if people grow hemp, the trees will suck up all the toxins. But you can't use it then once it does that. But I'm saying, has anybody done that in California yet?
Well, see, what's going on is I live in California, you know, right?
Yeah, I know that. That's why I called you and asked you this. I'm asking this question of you.
Right, right. So what's going on in California is just like in a couple other states, hemp is going to be legal real soon, just like marijuana is going to be legal soon. But hemp is a cousin to marijuana. And
right.
Hemp is not really a weed. Hemp has been growing in China and the country and all the worlds for thousands of years, and yes, it'll suck up a wide variety of toxins. But hemp is not grown to be eaten, even though that's another issue there too, because hemp, a lot of people are growing hemp for the CBD qualities of it. Mm-hmm. And so, but if they're growing in an environment that doesn't have the toxins, they won't suck up the toxins. In other words, if it's grown in a clean soil, healthy soil,
that.
That's a difference.
First,
see, yeah. Right?
Right. And then maybe, I don't know if they can burn it afterwards, like once they, because you can't use it for anything else once you've, done the toxins,
well,
but maybe.
The thing is that the best way to get rid of toxins is to help the soil to get rid of the toxins, because it's, soil has the incredible ability to basically eat the toxin. It just eats that stuff right up, and there's nothing left. See what I'm saying?
Wow. Good. I didn't know that. I did.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
With all the toxins in the earth, how can it? How it's pretty sick, this earth, because of all the stuff that we put in it. So I wonder
how
it can do that.
Yes, ma'am. So the thing is that we're surrounded by toxins. Literally, I was looking just yesterday on the TV, and they were saying babies, 1 in 5 babies get cancer. Okay? And it's like, yeah, it's so toxic that the babies are getting cancer right off the bat.
Right, and they have it in their umbilical cord. All the toxins are proven right there when they test the
Exactly right. It's like, we're like swimming in toxins. We need to be in a space suit, right, with oxygen. Just to walk around and say, because it's getting that way.
Let's send all the chemicals into the moon. Let's send it to the moon.
But the thing is to see that the soil can is used to dealing with toxins, and not the kind of toxins that we produce, like here in the fires, we have all these fires in Malibu and Paradise. You know, people have stuff that never invented, never been on the planet before, chemicals and toxins and radiation. So when you have a fire that burns stuff that you've never seen on the planet before, it's going to create a havoc for people, animals, right? All kinds of stuff.
Plus the meteorites that hit the Earth. I mean, that wasn't from the Earth either.
Excuse me?
Between that and radiation and nuclear or whatever they did, I don't know how they created that, but that originally, any element, I thought we created it. So it's really from the Earth, everything. I didn't think they could create anything that's not from
the
Earth.
Well, the thing is there's nothing ever created or destroyed. So when we say we create something like a toxin, whether it be radiation or something, it's really already been created in somewhere out there in your universe, whether it be on the planets or other planets. Doesn't make a difference. But us humans are rather unique in a lot of different ways because we created, for example, plastic. I don't think you can find plastic anywhere else in the universe. I bet you $100 you won't be able. An alien is going to come here. Yeah, we're going to dump our plastic here. No, it's like we invented plastic. I'm sure there must be some form of plastic in nature that somehow becomes plastic, but I don't think so, right?
Well, isn't gypsum? Gypsum looks like plastic, but it's not really the crystal gypsum. It sort of looks like
gypsum is not plastic. It doesn't even look like plastic. If you look at it in its natural form.
Yeah, but even asbestos is something that is natural to the planet.
Right, asbestos is also found in nature. So is cadmium, mercury, lead, all those things.
Yeah.
Radiation, even the different types of radiation throughout the universe. Nuclear waste radiation is just a concentration of a certain kind of radiation that you normally find in nature, but you don't find in that concentration unless you're in some type of nuclear star that's blowing up or
something
like that. Then you get the concentration. People are very interesting in that we're very good at concentrating toxics and good at doing the exact worst thing that we should be doing. And part of it is for right now, it was what I was talking about today was the trees and the soil. Mm-hmm. And, right now we're going through this climate change thing, right?
Right. I'm not so sure about that. I have a feeling it is good because it's producing a lot of carbon dioxide. Isn't that helping trees? If we had more trees, that would be good.
So
that's what we need, more trees.
So there's one of the things I was talking about today is that I was starting to say that about 20 or 30 years ago when I worked for the tree people, I kept saying, more trees. We need to plant more trees. We need to have, I had a dream. I dreamed I was a pilot and I was going to land at the LA airport, but I couldn't find the airport because there were so many trees and forests, I couldn't find the spot.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
See, nice.
That was
That's
my dream.
Maybe there really is an Earth that has all those trees. You just haven't found it yet on the planet.
Well, see, the thing is that there should
be
at least 60% to 70% tree cover in any city. Right now we have maybe 10 or 20%.
Did you get the earthquake by you, or you're not anywhere near the South California?
Do what? Oh, yeah, no, I'm over here in L.A., so I felt it. I felt the shaking and the rocking and the rolling, and it was kind of cool, but didn't really do anything, so I feel lucky so far. I was telling Susan today, we're walking through fire, dear. Just keep your eye on the fire there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Can I ask you why you call your next show Cosmic something? Are you into
Cosmic Spaceship.
Aliens? Oh, but is it real? Are you really connected to aliens?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm connected to a lot
You're
of
channeling
aliens.
The music?
I'm connected to a lot of things. I'm an alien myself. But hey,
I know. So am I.
What's the problem? Is there a problem with that?
I was just wondering because I noticed I've never listened to that part of the show yet. I barely ever get. I'm not home normally during the hours you're on anymore.
Don't you get a podcast?
I don't because I don't have room on my thing to get it. I just go in the BBS archives if I want to listen to something.
iPhone?
I haven't listened to any of that. No. I had just a regular flip phone, so no.
Okay, on that phone
that.
Doesn't have it. You know what? You can't listen to a podcast. You can't subscribe to something and download it because it's not just iPhones. You can get it on any phone. You're gonna use a computer?
Once I get my computer, I only have an iPad right now, and nothing is.
You can get a podcast.
I know, but
iPad.
My iPad is full. My iPad is full. Nobody can believe I filled up. My and it's like I don't have anything in memory. I don't know how the hell I have so much stuff in there. So I got to get a separate. Yeah, I've got to get a separate computer to put laptop.
I know. So you can listen to the show right from the website. You can go up there and click on the past one. You know.
And you could call
okay,
in
so,
with the phone, right?
I'm glad you're calling. Was there a question?
Yeah, that was basically it, asking you about the hemp thing. That's why I thought you would
right,
know.
Right, so hemp is actually very, very good to grow for lots of different reasons. And one of them is that it'll grow in almost any environment. It's been growing anywhere on the planet. So in certain areas, it was really good to have some type of ground cover. You can grow the hemp. And hemp will... You know, you don't really want to grow hemp to pick up toxins, because if then you can't use the hemp. Ideally, you want to use it either for rope or for medicine.
If you want a piece of farmland, I want to clear the soil. I think that's smart for me to. If they let me to grow hemp, I would.
If you want to clear the soil, the best way to do that, it's one of the things I was going to actually talk about next week, is how you can heal the soil, help heal the soil.
Great.
So if
now
you have a farm,
in.
I have a new TV show came up. I'm working on the farm now, and I'm managing a farm. It's going to be totally organic. There's a drone we put up in the air. You should see it. It's on my website. It'll say Lark Campbell or Miss LaGuardia TV. So
when you want to certify your farm here in New York, you got to take 3 years to
Excuse me.
Before they only let you certify an organic farm if you do it for 3 years empty. You can't grow anything for 3 years. That's kind of long. So I'm actually not going to be certified for selling, but I want a piece of land that I want to clear all the toxins out. So is it going to be able to do that?
The best way to get rid of toxins on the property, right, is to help heal, get the soil, let the soil get back together, and then you help it along. That's one of the reasons why you use animal manure and rock dust, and you learn how to increase the microbial activity in the soil. If the soil is functioning correctly, and toxins kill the soil. We kill it all the time from the water, chemicals of the water, you know, the radiation, when you have a fire, all these toxins.
Right? You're doing a probiotics for the earth, basically.
Exactly right. And so the human beings are just doing such bad things for the soil, for the ocean, for the air. But the ocean, the soil in particular, because everything is keyed into the soil. So if you have land and you want to make that really as healthy as possible, but it has toxins, so you have to basically increase the microbiology of the soil, just like you do that in your stomach. That's what probiotics is all about. It's supposed to be increasing the microbiology of your soil. So that's why you make compost, and you have to make compost with different types of animal manure. Because animal manure, inside of them, they have the different microbes that you need.
Even though they might be sick, how do you know your animals are not sick and then they're making, the manure that's healthy?
How do you know your animals are not sick?
Well, if you don't have any animals, first of all, to start your farm, then you probably hopefully get healthy ones. But if you don't have any animals to do that, and you won't know what kind of manure, how healthy the manure is that you're getting.
Right. Okay. So that means that you're a smart person. You go up to the person and say, "Excuse me, I would like to use your horse poop or your cow poop, but could you tell me a little bit about, what you're doing? If you're spraying with this, if you're doing with that." I mean, when I was young, which was like 100 years ago, when I used to go out and make compost, I would drive to a homestead, which is like the country. And I would see a farm. I said, "Oh, cool, look, there's a pile." There'd be a sign that says, "All the compost you want." So I'll go over there and I go, "Excuse me, so tell me, what do you feed your horses, right? Do you inject your horses? Are you spraying the manure with this spray or that spray? Why is it, right? Make sure. Yeah, so you got to get to know the people. And if they say, we spray with this and we spray with that, you go, "Well, fine, have a nice day," right?
Okay.
See? So you do have to know a little bit where you're at getting the poop from. Otherwise, you could be getting something really, really bad. You put it in your stuff, and then it only makes it worse, right?
Yeah, right. That's why I was trying to. I always ask about my farmers whenever I buy anything from a farmer's market, because I got to know the farmer and what they do.
And they're the same people. That very same farmer that you buy stuff from, you say, "Hey, do you make compost?" And if they say yes, well, you already trust him a little bit because you're getting his food from him. So you said, "I'll visit you on the farm." If you're lucky, you could do that. Nowadays, people buy compost in bags. They have no idea where it comes from. So you have to know the trust the manufacturer to some extent. See, right?
Right. Yep. I mean, the city is like doing compost, but you don't really know how they're composting even. So somebody just told me, oh, there might be weeds in there. I said, I don't care about the weeds. I'd like to know the nutrients in this stuff. I didn't even think about that. Just because they're giving back compost in exchange for food scraps, and half the people don't even, they're probably using like chemicals already. Their fruits and vegetables that they're donating. I'm keeping my own organic stuff. When I buy organic now, I keep my own scraps now. I'm not giving it away.
I know what you mean.
I don't have any land
listen,
yet.
If Don is listening, maybe you can put her voice up a little bit. I don't know how to do that from this end, Donald.
But, can you hear me? Well, anyways, I don't want to monopolize the whole show. You need other people calling in anyways. Maybe people are calling
in. Well, if other people call in, then they will be able to plug in, too. So okay. You're not manipulating anything. Like I said, the real reason why I do it is to talk to nice people like you and help you. So you have land?
Excuse me?
Do you have land?
Not yet. I actually want to get it. Once I sell my place, I'm trying, but I don't know where. My parents already have land in Texas, in El Paso. So I don't really know.
You're looking for a place.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking. I actually found something, but it's way above my price range, and it's a retreat place.
Well, I've been looking for 50 years. My problem was that I moved here to Malibu, right? It's a small little village outside of Los Angeles, right? You know Malibu?
Uh-huh. Right, yeah, that's a rich, rich area.
Oh, well, it's a small village, you know.
All the stars have homes in Malibu.
What?
You got all the stars out there having homes out there in Malibu.
Yeah, they called me the gardener to the stars because that's one reason why I moved there, because I figured, well, money, I like money, so, you know. And I've been here ever since. And I doing services, because I don't do gardening. Basically, I go to people's properties, and they have multi-million-dollar property, and they can't afford to lose. One lady paid $150,000 for a palm tree. You lose one or two or three or four palm trees, that's a lot of money.
You're worth it.
Excuse me.
Yeah, hiring you would be worth it to keep saving that.
Exactly right. I one lady I'm going to, and I'm not going to give any names, she's spent $25 million so far. So far.
Ooh.
Okay.
And it's like a little sanctuary for them, their gardens, right? They relax there and they heal there and everything.
And if you do it right, I've been this one lady I've been with since 84 and another lady in 84 too. They were both my first customer and my second customer, right? In 84, when I showed up in Malibu, they saw my little sign says, don't panic, it's organic. And their places right now are absolutely amazing because the soil is really alive. Everything's growing there and healthy and happy. The bugs are happy, the bees and and the fruit is totally delicious.
Do you have any portfolio of the stuff? You can't show their health. You can't say who it is, obviously, but you can't take pictures of what you've done?
Oh, sure. I have pictures and videos. That's what I've been doing for years of everybody's place. Like what I was just saying, I just started working on a farm, okay? There's a fire in Malibu, and the lady, you take advantage of something bad happens, and it's also a good opportunity. Things, so there's a whole bunch of farms got burned down. So she bought the farms all the way around her that burned down. She was lucky, and she bought a few farms. So now she has
a massive place. That's good for the soil, right? That burn, when there's a fire, isn't it good for the soil?
Only if there isn't toxic. These houses have so much toxin in it. When they burn, it kills everything, and it stays toxic for a long time unless you learn how to clean it up.
Well,
see?
You know how to, so they're lucky for them.
Well, I used to go. People still do. They want me to come to their place and do a test to see if their soil is toxic, or if the air is toxic, or if the environment is toxic. And what happened was I got about 100 calls because I said, okay, I'll do it for free. I will come and help, be part of the community and help you. So the first five that I went to, I couldn't make it because I was getting dizzy. I was getting sick. I say my heart's beating fast. And I have this instrument, the instruments that say the toxicity level of stuff. They were saying, if you can read this, you're dead. You should be anywhere
near this. You should be wearing a hazmat suit, it sounds like.
right, because I'm looking at this and it says, If you're reading this, you're too close already.
Yeah, plus, wait a second. As a person who does work in nature, you're probably very sensitive. You're probably empathic. Oh. You probably can feel everything. Oh,
so driving in the car through the streets where everything's burned on the left and right, and these things are toxic that are burned in there. They're toxic chemicals in your garage, or the house is made of toxic chemicals from asbestos to mercury. You name the toxins and pesticides, and you name it. So what the way they do is they scrape everything, take it away, but they do nothing to help the soil. People try to plant in the stuff. And, you know, a lot of people are in Malibu are getting sick because they all want to get back in their home as soon as possible. They have kids running around outside. And that's I wear masks, and I wear special filters. I shoot myself up with oxygen. I have oxygen. Breathe it in, you know, and I'm going, holy cow. And that's what's going on right now. Every time I go into Malibu, I'm going, I don't want to go in here. Because I'm not stupid. I can see toxins. There's more toxins now than ever before in that area because it's not going to go away anytime soon. See?
Right. When they burn down the buildings, right, that means that that stuff that they use for building, if it's toxic, oh boy, it's going to be really toxic.
From lead to whatever, and it's there. And on top of that, the winds take it and blow it around the community. And some days, when it rained, everybody's, oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, wait until it dries and the wind blows it back up again around everywhere. You know,
have you found the GM, what they're doing using Roundup? Have you found, how do you clean Roundup out of the ground?
Okay, and not only out of the ground, out of your body. People are eating so many things.
Yeah, I know, getting it out of the body too, but imagine on the ground, how do you get that out?
Okay, so Roundup is like cocaine for the soil. Okay,
oh my goodness.
Right? See what I'm saying? Cocaine for the soil. And so and part of the thing that's going on now is we have to start healing the soil. In other words, the best way to do that is to make the most healthiest live compost there is. And it goes back down to that again. Look, if you make compost that has a little bit of all the different animal manure, you get llama, you get sheep, you get horse, you get cow.
What about the red wiggler worm? Is that really?
Well, yeah, okay, but they're going to die if you put them in that soil. Eventually, someone will make it through. But the way you do that is first you get the compost done, and you learn it. Like there are lots of different systems on the market now. Is one of the things I'm going to be talking about: biodynamic composting. You know, lots of different permaculture ways, sustainable stuff. I mean, there's tons of stuff.
I forgot, you do permaculture too? Wow, that's even better. Permaculture.
Oh, yeah. On this farm, for example, it's a perfect example. The lady bought all these
Explain
places.
Explain permaculture once more to me, because I sort of got the gist, but I want your definition of what permaculture really is.
It's permanent culture, something you do that doesn't go away, that lasts, sustainable.
Oh, okay.
It's also called sustainable agriculture. That means you do something, it gets better and better and better. And essentially, you just leave it alone, and it takes care of itself if you do it right.
And if you grow, let's say you grow native plants to the area, is that better and better? Is that like a best thing to do, is to grow things that are native to that land in that area?
Well, the term native is a little bit misleading in a lot of different ways. For example, there is a plant called the black mustard. I don't know. Are you in California
in
now?
New York. Nope,
huh?
I'm in New York. My son's moving to California as of August, so I'll probably be visiting in California.
Well, over here in Southern California, especially like where I live, you drive around the countryside, there's these fields and fields of yellow, and it's called black mustard. It's like mustard. You know what mustard is, right?
Yeah, I know what mustard is. I thought mustard seed. I didn't know what that was.
Exactly, right. So when in the 17th century, somewhere of 1780s or early 80s, 1800s, people that came to California, the Jesuit monks, these were monks that came here. They set up all these, monasteries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they brought seeds with them. One of the seeds they brought with them was the black mustard.
Wow.
And they grew the mustard for the seeds, right? You crush the seeds, there's your mustard. They grew it for the leaves and for the medicinal property.
And
so
the
anyway,
oils that they made.
So the term native, everybody's in the field of agriculture, horticulture people, they say, okay, if it's before the time of the monks, 1789, they're native. If they're planted after the monks, they're not. So these mustard plants are not exactly native, even though they've been here for quite a few hundred years, right? Right? And so the mustard plants is not really a native that you really want to grow. There are lots of things that are natives, but they're not exactly what you want to grow if you want to bring the soil back to life. Because a lot of natives, what they do is they have the ability to stop other plants from growing. See? That's what the mustard does, for example. The reason why the mustard seed gets to spread all everywhere is that it kills the beneficial bacteria in the soil, which the other plants need. And therefore, it gives it an advantage to grow, to take over. Ah, did you know that? Hello? Are we done with? Something happened? Are you there? I don't hear anything. Are we done? What happened? Oh, she's done, huh? Tell me. Oh, okay. She just disappeared. That's funny. And since I can't hear myself or hear anything, I get really nervous.
No, I hear you again. Oh, you muted me. Okay. No, before that, it was a lot. It was garbling. There was something. You mute the hell out of me. Why? Am I that annoying? You'll mute the hell out of me. No, mute the heaven in me. Not hell, the hell. I don't want. Oh, mute the hell. Yeah. Okay, take out the hell. Okay, yeah, I like that wording. Yeah, if I have any hell in me, yeah, mute it out of me. Thank you.
So look, it's really easy. You have to know what's good and what's bad, because there are lots of things that you can plant that you don't really want to grow, and there are lots of things that you, if you planted, you did it right. That's why this farm that I'm working on, the lady hired me recently. So I just turned 70. Can you imagine? I just got a job. I've been working for myself all these years. And so the lady says she reads my column, listens to my show, has my book, blah, blah, And I want you to come and manage the farm 40 hours a week. I said, I can't do 40 hours a week. I'll do 10 hours a week to start. And the farm is a perfect example of what can be done, because here's all these farms that have been burned down. They're building houses and everything. But the soil is dead. I can't find not one earthworm on the property, okay? Not one earthworm. But give it with this time next year, I bet you not only would you find earthworms there, because one of the things we're going to be doing is vermiculture. See, she has horses, right? So, like a typical play person in Malibu, they have horses. They like horses, and they can afford horses. It's very expensive, So she has horses, but I've talked her into getting some cows, some goats. If it's going to be a farm, you have to have animals.
Right.
And here's a really
easy... She can hire people to do that, right? She doesn't have... If you can't be there 40 hours, you could train her people to do what you want them to do.
Of course, right. There are lots of people there. There are gardeners running around, all kinds of stuff going on. So I just... And this is a learning experience for them. She planted 10 oak trees, $10,000 a tree. Two or three are almost dying now. They were planted wrong. And I'm going, oh boy. And they didn't follow they spend a lot of money for a landscape architect, but they don't follow the plan. It's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Anyway.
It's for beauty. It's for beauty when they do it. They don't do it for health. They don't even know what they're doing. They just do it because it looks good, right?
So this is a perfect thing to follow, especially like for you. If you really want to see what to do with your land, this is a perfect example. I already started taping it. I have a drone. We went up in the air, saw the whole thing. And what I'm going to do, here's what's really cool. First of all, they have compost. They have horses. And they're taking the horse manure and hauling it away. I'm going,
Stop that.
And the reason why they're hauling away is because the city says you can't just have manure everywhere, anywhere. So I have to talk with the city and say, okay, look, we're going to make compost. Not only are we going to make compost, because they're surrounded by she's surrounded by these mansions, giant mansions looking down at her. So they were making compost, and there were horse manure flies, and it was smelling. The wind would go their way. They complained to the city. There's people who are stinking up the place. There's horse flies everywhere. And right, blah, blah. Right? Hello?
But it won't stink once you make compost out of it. It'll be okay.
Right. So I'm going to show them three ways to make compost. Okay, and the first way is vermiculture, using worms to eat everything up. You have to get the right kind of worms. You have to know, you have to be able to talk worm language. This is a little worm language.
Play music to them.
Yeah. Oh, they love the music. And so the worms, if you do it right, we have we have earthworm castings. We have an amazing liquid that comes from the earthworms. And we have lots and lots of earthworms, which we're going to transplant everywhere. That's one way. The other way is we're going to use bins, either bins or piles. We're going to be composting it through a series of bins and piles. And the third way is we're going to be actually turning the land into a living environment. One of the things that happened, like recently, and I'm glad I'm talking to you, because hey, you want to be my co-host?
Sure, the one that knows nothing. The city girl
That's
who knows nothing, doesn't know
you
how
will
to
make
plant
an excellent
a thing.
Co-host,
and sometimes
all
the
I
plants
need is
die
someone
on
to
her.
Talk
Yeah,
to.
Sure. You want a partner like that who knows nothing?
No, I have that's perfect. All I need is somebody to talk to, because this is Malibu is a perfect example. Okay, so recently we had all this rain, right? Rain.
I'm not joking.
Well, most of it's gone.
That.
It's just washed down this countryside, washed into the ocean. Bye bye. And then they go back
the
again.
Country
go, where,
boy
me,
and the city
where,
girl.
Drop, right?
You're a country boy, aren't you? Not really, right? Malibu is not really a country. Not the
well,
country.
I'm a country boy in the sense that in my heart and soul, I want to be a farmer. I don't know what I'm doing, not owning any land. And so I'll tell you what happened. I got married, okay? I'm not going to say anything else, okay?
I get it.
It's a wonderful life. My wife's 87, and we've been together for almost all. I was 27 when I got married, so figure it out. But, otherwise, I would have ended. You know where I was in the early 70s. Stephen Gaskin Farm, 10,000 acres in Tennessee.
You're kidding.
A communal farm. You know what I did there? I helped him produce methane run tractor. I said, look, you can take the poo-poo, put it over there, and if you do it right, it'll make fuel for that tractor. And
you're
sure
kidding.
Enough,
you made fuel? Wow. I thought I was going to say, is it a horse farm? Because I was about to ask you, because Tennessee, is there farms there? I don't know. I'm actually looking at property possibly in Tennessee.
I'm looking at property in Alachua County, Florida. See, I like California, but this is going to be worse and worse living here. If no other reason than earthquakes, because it's going to be a lot of them everywhere. You know, it's all kinds of stuff. You have to find the right place to survive. Like I found
a survival place, a water source. You want a water source, right?
Yeah, right. So I was looking at Puerto Rico, right? Puerto Rico is a really good place. But, you know, it has its problems now. Half my family's from Puerto Rico. I can go to Puerto Rico and live on a farm up in the mountains and never be seen or heard of from again. But right now, I need to go there with like $1 million so I can dig into the mountain, make this house inside the mountain, live literally right inside of it there.
But what happened with Puerto Rico? You know, with now that they had that storm, you probably can get any land for nothing practically.
No, you have to go there with a gun. That's the thing is, you can get it for nothing, but you're ripping the people off. People are going there and say, I will buy your beachfront property for $10,000 or $100,000. Okay.
Yeah,
then they turn around
the people.
And they build a $20 million condo project. And that, yeah, right. So.
Right. It's not right. I have a friend who actually moved there and he opened a retreat. He has a B&B there and he's a naturopath and his wife is a naturopath. They get people from all over the world and so they feed the people and it's a nice place. I haven't been there. I'm invited, so I want to go check it out.
Well, Puerto Rico is perfect in the sense that it's an island. So when the shit hits a fan, pardon my expression, you're in an island. Not everybody can get to you.
I know. that's probably part of the charm. You don't want people coming to, all over. You have a place to get away from people.
My dad's from Cuba and my mother's from Puerto Rico, so I love Cuba.
Oh,
I tell you,
you're lucky. I want to go to Cuba. Is what I want.
I would go to Cuba in the drop of a hat, and I could. But they probably wouldn't let me out again.
They won't let you out. They want to keep you. You're very valuable. You have a lot of good knowledge. They probably want you to stay there.
So here's what I'm going to do with this place, the property. I'm going to start growing a cover crop. Now, the cover crop is going to be plants that will grow there, and it will turn that soil, when it rains, the other water washes away, but it will suck it right up. Not a drop of water will disappear, will run down the mountain. You'll see, and everything will be green and luscious. And the city will go, how the heck did you do that? Because I'm going to show them right from the beginning Well, we do. And that's the third part of making the compost. You make the compost in the soil. You when the horse drops it, you know, or the animal drops it, you add rock dust to it, microbes to it immediately, and you let it cook a little bit, and you take that, you put that right into the ground, you turn it over, put some seed, the cover crop seeds in there, and let it grow. And you do it at the right time, like when it rains.
Is this something that anybody's done, or is this your invention? Is this your only discovery?
No, ma'am, I'm not creating anything.
Oh, so this is natural. So that's what permaculture is really about?
Oh, yeah, you should, not just permaculture, but there are permaculture people who are exactly doing exactly that, right? They're learning how to use cover crop. They understand that the soil's alive. It's a living organism. You take care of it. I tell people, look, sick soil, sick trees. So how can you be an arborist? Like I'm an arborist. And I go to arborist conventions all the time. They never talk about the soil. They always talk about, what chemicals can we use to kill the bug that's attacking the tree?
Oh, my God.
That's it. And when you get a certified, see, I'm not a certified arborist. You know why? Because I don't use the chemicals. The reason why, my opinion, the reason why people become certified, you know, why you have a certified arborist is for insurance. Remember I told you about one of my customers, $150,000 palm tree? Well, if she has an arborist, certified arborist, and the tree dies, she can say, well, I did everything I could known to science, and they'll give them the money back. The insurance will give her the money back. But if you have a cook like me, and the tree dies, no, you can't, because you didn't do everything you could possibly could do. And by the way, when I was at this lady's place, you get to know her, and you'll know she's a famous singer, and she goes, do you believe? And that one.
it doesn't matter. You have a horticulturist license or whatever they have. Sometimes people have the gift in their hands, and it doesn't even matter. They ever went, you know.
This lady is famous. She calls me regularly. So she says, what's wrong with my palms? And I did. And I was with her 2 years, and not one of her palms died. So they were dying before, and I came and I stopped her from dying.
Well, once the reason she word went of mouth back to really again good.
Is because the certified arborist says, well, if you any of these palms die, you're going to pay for it. And she couldn't handle it. She said, look, we have a minute or two. Anyway, listen, you should come back again. I love talking with you.
Thank you. I don't want to hog up the whole show. Bye. I'll let the next person come on.
Well, now it's too late. Now the show is over with, and I'm going to play my Cosmic Spaceship song. So basically, I play my own music. I write music, and I play it. And it's special music that I write. So listen to it, okay? I know you left. I heard you leave. Okay, guys, you'll be listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic with your host, Andy Lopez, Invisible Gardener. Stay tuned for Cosmic Spaceship. I think we're done now. No, done.